Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But Stone, we got a busy week this week. This Thursday, heading out to the World Congress Center to do some trade show work.
We're going to cover the Hinman. I guess we'll be talking to the dentist and all the good folks that that serve the dental community. Should make for some interesting interviews, I think.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So have we got our press passes yet?
I think Karen's working on it.
Cool. No, that's going to be a lot of fun. I love doing the radio in my booth stuff where we actually set up and they do like the Monday night football thing and you have the pre-scheduled interviews and all that. So that's going to be a lot of fun for a lot of things we're doing in April. But this, it's you and I, right? Senior man on the street correspondents. Yeah. So that'll be fun to go capture some of those stories and meet some of those folks. But hey, nothing compared to what we're going to do in here this morning. This is going to be a lot of fun. This is our special edition of Atlanta Business Radio focused on a recent award winner. We're going to learn more about that. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast the team, the Brain Trust, the smart folks from a company called Vimtrek. And first, I'd like to introduce the president, the Grand Poobah, Mr. Errol Wolford. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having us here.
Oh, we're excited to learn about it. You were recently named a TAG Emerging Technology Firm software,
yes.
Right?
That's right. Construction is a big business. It's the world's largest business at about $5 trillion. And buildings actually use about 48% of the world's energy, mm-hmm. put out about 42% of the CO2, and use 39% of the water.
So you guys came out with a way to help them save some energy?
Yes. Right now, there's a phenomenon called building information modeling, where the world's kind of gone from 2D to 3D. Now, Vimtrek gives you the visual aspect. You can imagine walking through a building and seeing it before it's built. So you could be a doctor and now help the architect where that CAT scan should be placed, or a teacher looking at how the building is being designed and giving input into the architect.
So previously it was 2D? They were just kind of renderings on paper?
For the last 150 years, we've been working in basically a 2D world, mm-hmm. with maybe a physical model. Now we've moved into a 3D world. So the architects and engineers actually design in 3D, and then Vimtrek allows you to trek around in the 3D setting. So you're immersed in a 3D environment, you get to see the building before it's built.
Now, are the graphics like video game quality, or are they more pixelated?
Actually, it's high. We use Unity as our base, which is the largest gaming engine in the world. So it's high quality. Plus, as you're walking through the building, you not only get to walk through and visualize it, but you could come up to the lighting fixture, point to the lighting fixture. It gives you all the information about the lighting fixture, or point at the...
Wow.
So for constructors, that's very important, because normally they only get 2D drawings.
And they have to kind of imagine it, right?
Exactly.
And that's not precise.
Exactly right. So you have 2D drawings, and along with it, we augment it now with 3D drawings.
And the heart of this puppy is a gaming engine? How sexy is that? That's cool.
It is cool. Gaming engines are so powerful. You know, the medical industry are using it and others. So
right.
It's not just Minecraft, which is very powerful. Actually, it's similar in the sense that you create buildings, but this is realistic Minecraft. So you get to interact with the building, but you also have big data included in it, which is very important in buildings too.
Now, is this something that the architects are just like embracing when they see something this new? When it's transformative, isn't it?
Yes. I was part of a company called Revit 15 years ago, and it was created by a nuclear physicist from Russia. He got kicked out of Russia, came over to the United States, and did the design of the Boeing 777, which was designed, it was built, and flown all on a computer, nothing real. He then started a new business, asked me to join on board his board of directors and everything, and he created this thing called Revit. Mm-hmm. And now Revit is the largest software used by architects and engineers in the world. It's worth $6 billion, mm-hmm. and it has over 700,000 users. So Revit is a very powerful design tool, but now you get to see the building in VimTrack.
So it plays nicely with Revit?
It does.
So it's an add-on to Revit?
It is.
Uh-huh.
And it's known as BIM, Building Information Modeling.
Right. And so, VIM is visual information?
And VIM is visual. You got it.
So now, it started because of your friend in Russia did Revit. Is that how?
Yeah.
That was the impetus?
He was working on the Boeing 777.
But what made you think, like, I'm going to transfer this to building?
A lot of us were thinking, if you could design and build and, in a sense, fly
an airplane,
a Boeing, why not a building?
A buildings don't move, so it's easier, right?
So we approached him, and he had the idea, and he moved ahead, and he was our leader at Revit.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's firmly established amongst architects all over the world. We have more Chinese architects using Revit than Americans, and but 80% market share in China, the United States, and England. But there was a need to have a visualization, and mm-hmm. that's what VimTrack is about. Kind of gone from BIM, building information modeling, to VIM, visual information modeling.
So now, is this something that you sell to architects, or is this a service you provide to architects?
We actually provide it to the owners, because the owners get the savings by having the model done in 3D, so they can mm-hmm. show their apartment or their medical facility before,
so they can like pre-sell.
Exactly.
Is that the value or one of the values?
That's a huge value. And then later, the facility manager has a virtual building that he could go through. He doesn't have to go look for a paper set of plans or look through some specifications. Now, Nicholas was with me right at the beginning.
Right. Why don't you introduce Nicholas?
Let me introduce Nicholas. He is awesome background, but he has actually introduced this to Prime Minister Cameron, who is very interested in that in England. Let me turn it over to Nicholas and hear more about that.
All right. Welcome, Nicholas Jeffrey.
Good morning. Good morning. And I apologize for the English accent. I've already had a few jokes about it this morning, saying the radio show was going to convert it into an Atlanta accent. We'll see if we can avoid that, at least for this morning. So I started off with Errol about 2 years ago, and this whole concept.
What were you doing prior?
I was an investment strategist for the European Bank,
This
was a logical move from banker to designer. It seemed very sensible at the time. And I'd spent all my time building, marketing plans and advertising agencies and things like that. But I found some of this technology in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a company in Russia that was doing virtual tourism. So they were building beautiful high-definition products of Machu Picchu and, sort of St. Mark's Square and everything.
But like from a tourist standpoint.
Yeah, but it really had no application. So there was no customer.
Right.
And we had the idea that actually it sort of was one of these eureka moments, and was sort of, my wife's an architect, and we sat there. And I could see her doing these renderings, and they were beautiful, but they were taking about 30 hours plus to be able to do them. And when she had them, they were fairly dumb and static models. You couldn't walk around them, you couldn't use them, you couldn't send them on a mobile phone.
So you could just look at them and spin them around.
Yeah, so it was an electronic maquette. So it'd gone from cardboard to electronic, but nothing else other than that. And I just said to her, don't you use game engine technology? And she looked at me a little bit strange and said, no, there isn't anybody out there that's using game engine technology. And I said, well, when you're using a game and you're playing with Lara Croft in the sort of the dark
you're kind of immersed in there.
You're immersed in 3D, beautiful
technology.
Right, you
look up and there's the sky.
Exactly.
You look down, there's the floor.
So I said, why can't we do the same? So we met Errol and a couple of other guys, and we decided that there was a gap in the market, that you didn't just want a static model. You wanted something you could have a game engine environment and you could walk around.
Right.
So that's exactly what it is. So we coined this phrase where sense meets sizzle.
Mm-hmm.
And the sizzle is really the fun of going around an object. So I can be an owner in Moscow, and the architect could be Dutch and the Netherlands, and the funder can be in the UK, and the developer could be in the US. And at the moment, there was no way of getting visuals across to each other, because they were just too big.
The files are too big?
Files were enormous. They were gigabyte files, and basically you just if you were lucky, put them on Dropbox, and one day they would eventually appear. So this was
would used, it really take a day?
It would take a day. They had things called render jockeys, which basically you'd send it to render, you'd all go home for the evening, and then some idiot would sit up all night and hope the computer hadn't crashed.
Oh my.
So this is taking literally minutes what used to take tens of hours.
Wow.
So it's changed the way that this architectural industry is going to work, because rendering and 3D stuff always used to be kept to the very end of the project. So I've now finished. I'm now going to do a beautiful render and show everybody what I've done. But now 3D can be used
before, right?
All the way along the process. So you can have a look at something. You can render it. You can share it. You can collaborate. You can go back and change it.
And you can make changes. It's like, you know what? That wall's good. How about blue?
Yeah.
And then it's like, boom, it's blue.
But the interesting thing is that it's not just aesthetics. So it's architectural stuff. Because, as you know, there's this wonderful thing called change orders. So change orders...
Does that occur? That occurs periodically, right?
Change orders is where us consumers building buildings don't know what we're actually building.
Right. You just know what you'd like.
You know what you like. So you've gone from two bedrooms to three bedrooms, right, and a wall here to a window there.
How hard could that be, right?
And we're the worst components of it. So the idea of something visual is that you can actually see it before it's built. So you can see exactly what it looks like, where the light's coming in, how the corridor is going to work. Now, that's not so critical for a domestic home, but you start translating that into a hospital or a factory.
Right.
Now you're talking billions of dollars in change orders. So what Errol mentioned about the United Kingdom, the UK is behind the US in building information modeling. It's using it, but it's not really embraced it. And the British government...
But what would be a reason not to embrace it when the technology is there?
Inertia.
It's just that we've
always done it this way, and let's continue doing it this way. And, right, and a lot of industries are like that.
And then you send them messages by telegraph?
Yeah, and occasionally attach them to pigeons and hope they arrive, something like that. So the idea was that the British government realized that it was the biggest funder of building construction products. So that's everything from hotels to hospitals to inner city urban environments and everything else. And the Conservative Party and the Liberal Democrats that are in power at the moment decided that if they embraced BIM technology, they could drive down the cost of these construction pieces. They could also force clean engineering, and they can force green engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So they can make things green compliant, they can make things clean energy, and they can actually reduce the cost and the overruns of these buildings.
Which are all things that are important to them, right?
Correct, because they're the funders, they're the bank.
Exactly.
So now they've mandated it.
And
they've turned it into law. So by supposedly either January or April 2016, it's now you cannot enter a government contracted product or project unless you are BIM manage and BIM related.
So Errol's high-fiving, right?
Yeah.
I am happy. I'm so glad that Nicholas knew Prime Minister Cameron, and he's now on the board with five people of BIM.
Wow.
And that's a nice in for us.
So what we're really trying to look at now is all the great projects and all the great spectacular work that's been done in the US around BIM, and then how it can get mandated and how it can get put in place. So some really
interesting... That's your challenge now.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously I'm helping doing a lot of the work here. So that because this is online, there's no geographic limit
right,
to where this goes.
Right, it doesn't matter, right.
Providing it's English language spoken, it theoretically it can be used by anybody in any language.
So other than Nicholas getting it hardwired into legislation, how does the sales and marketing go for this kind of thing? Do you do trade shows? Are you out there knocking on doors? Is your phone
two ways. Maybe I could cover off one, and Wendell will cover off the other since he's our sales manager.
Yeah.
One, we have a great alliance with this company called Construction Market Data. They're the leading market data company in the United States, owned by Pincus Warburg and Reed Elsevier, two giants. Right now, they report on 12,000 projects a month in the United States that are going out to bid, and 8,000 are electronic. We are now working with them, and since those 2D plans are going out, if you get a paper set of 2D plans in your contractor, subcontractor, you pay $300 for those. Now we're going to make it available electronic 2D plans for like $10, augmented by 3D plans for another $10. Huge, huge savings. We feel that's going to be a breakthrough. And now the trade contractors will not only get a 2D set of plans, but they'll get a 3D set of plans.
For a fraction of what they were paying for a 2D.
Exactly. And we're going to do this free to the architects, for the architects, so they'll have this viewer in 3D, and they could share that with the owners. So they're looking good with the owners, and the subcontractors are getting a nice 2D set of plans, which you already get from Construction Market Data, and now they get a 3D set of plans from VimTrack and Construction Market Data. This is a really practical area that we're bringing it to now. Then we call on the owners. Wendell leads that effort call the owners.
Wendell Dickerson, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
So you have the easiest sales job in the country or town?
Well, I can tell you, it's a wonderful product. And, you know, you expect the sales guy to say that, I guess. But at the same time, you know, I see the look on people's faces when I go to.
Right. It must be like they're blown away, right?
Oh, they really, you know, I just got back from the healthcare design conference, and the look on the hospital administrators, the owners, the board's faces is just like they're in amazement. So I'm excited to be a part of it.
And then when you have this 3D given to the people, and then you're trying to upsell them to the more robust system, is that what your job is?
Well, you know, one of the things that's nice about what we have is the technology has been around, but the awareness that you can collaborate, and let's talk about healthcare. I mean, in healthcare, we're talking about evidence-based design. I mean, that is the motto for their,
right.
For their methodology. And for us, the perfect combination is collaborative-based design, and VimTrack is the ultimate in collaboration.
And the healthcare companies that buy this are the hospitals?
They are the hospitals. They're we have a VDC in the healthcare industry. You know, they hire VDC people, which is virtual design and construction.
Right, but are they building a lot of hospitals now? I thought there was a consolidation of the hospitals.
Oh, absolutely.
Of course, hospitals in the United States, well, it's the biggest industry in the United States. Construction is the biggest industry in the world.
Right.
Medical is the biggest industry in the United States. It's 18% of our GDP and growing.
But the building of new hospitals?
Yes. They're actively building and, of course, continually reusing the buildings that are there. And, of course, that is high design as well. Reusing existing buildings.
Taking an existing building and then modifying it, and then your software allows them to do that more efficiently.
Exactly. And, you know, as Wendell was saying, evidence-based design is so important that an architect designs the building for healing, not just that it looks good.
Right.
But let's 16% of the people who go to hospitals get sick. Now, the design
is job security.
Yes. Well, if you could design the hospital, let's say, to have paperless JIT board or wall board or more lighting, you're able to really drive down the number of people who actually get sick in the hospital through good design.
So now, when you're working with a hospital, what's the challenge? I don't understand. Like, the energy efficiency, isn't that sell them right there? I mean, the money they save in energy?
Excellent point. Yes, it is. The real factor, though, is we had this billion-dollar project that we did in Turkey. And the Minister of Health kind of summed it up in a neat way. He said, wait a minute, I have sharp architects, but they can never have the knowledge of the doctors. So now I have my architects no longer showing them a 2D set of plans, which would intimidate the architects.
Right.
Now they got a 3D set of plans. And so that doctor, who's an expert, could say, I want the CAT scan moved over by 3 feet.
It doesn't make sense. They can see at a glance that it doesn't make sense to have one machine over here and they need it over there.
Exactly right. Or the configuration of the nurse's station, getting that back.
Right.
So this is very holistic. We're now getting the feedback of the doctors.
Of the stakeholders that are actually using the environment.
Exactly right.
Because the alternative is what we said is these change orders.
Right.
Because now they've built it and the doctor goes in and goes,
Can
you move that?
It's like, yeah, sure.
That'll only be $200,000.
Now, do you have statistics on that? Like, what are typical change orders and how much money they waste redoing things?
McGraw-Hill did a study, and projects that don't use BIM, 18% of the cost of the building is change orders.
18%?
18%.
Wow.
Projects that use BIM by the architects and the general contractor, it goes down to 11%. When you bring the trade contractors into it, along with other people like the doctors, in other words, you have high collaboration, not with just the general contractor and the architect,
but all the stakeholders,
it goes down to 2%.
Wow.
Now, if you're the government funding it, you can see why they want to drive it.
Right. So now, is the United Kingdom the only country that's kind of mandated it?
Singapore has mandated it. And in a sense, China has too, but they do it in a different way. The highest usage of BIM is actually in China. It's just that the Chinese government controls a lot of what the architects do. And it's probably worldwide, China is the highest usage of BIM
because they're building so much,
and they are they're the largest builder. They, you know, their GDP is about $11 trillion. Ours in the United States is 18. Yet they're creating twice as many projects as we are.
Wow.
They are on a building surge.
So there's a lot of cranes in China.
You go over and there's a lot of darkness in China. When you go to Beijing or Shanghai, it's dark at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a big problem. So BIM is very important. They realize they better start designing their buildings better with less junk going into the air.
I saw something they just announced that's more of a priority.
It is definitely a higher priority. But you could design it right, but it better get built right. And that's a problem right now. The contractors don't have easy access to these 3D plans. That's going to change with VIM. Visual information modeling that you can trek around is what VimTrek's about, and we're bringing it to the trade contractors who actually do the building.
So that's exciting. Is that, Nicholas, you mentioned that the inertia of the way things used to be, that's probably one of the biggest challenges you have of getting them to move a little bit and to open their mind that this is a valid way of doing things?
I think that's right. But if you think about it, there's several constituent parts in this channel. So ultimately, the owners pay for it. So, and the owners haven't been using the technology. So if you show the owner and say, look, okay, here is your apartment, here is your hotel, here's your hospital in 3D, what do you think of it? And they're paying for it, they'll mandate it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're going to sort of, you know, hotel groups and everything else and say, right, okay, we're going to take your architectural plans, which, to be honest, none of us really understand in 2D.
Right.
You know,
I've
just had a house built and I'm still really not quite sure where the front door is. So, you know, by looking at that in 2D, I don't think anybody can visualize it. But looking at it in 3D, there is no excuse. So the owners are sort of saying, I really want to get a feeling of what this built environment's going to look like. And given that they're paying for it, the industry will have to change.
Now, is any of the new virtual reality technology, you know, the Oculus Rift, of any of that come into play here, or is this stuff that you view just on your
computer screen? No, we're working. I know, you know, the founder of Oculus Rift, and we've worked with them. And yes, we're bringing the immersive experience from Oculus to VimTrek.
So you can actually, like, now physically walk through the building.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Not like mouse through it.
That's exactly right.
You just might be sick halfway through. But living room.
You have make monsters appear.
Yeah, exactly. Shoot the architect.
Right. Then you can really make it fun.
So I want to hear about this award process. You won this award. Tell us more about the award and the process. What was that like?
Yes. Well, the Technology Association of Georgia looks at different companies, and we were asked to submit the award. And actually, one of our customers, the National Monument Foundation here in Atlanta, did that Millennium Arch downtown. Have you seen that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that really cool building we did in Revit and VimTrek. And so he, Rodney Cook, submitted it into the category of the best emerging technology. And we were shocked last year we won it because we were up against the likes of very large companies, you know, Cox and Mercedes.
Right.
And we didn't feel we had a shot at all. But I think the aspect of people think of buildings and they don't know how much energy they use. So that the fact that buildings use 48% of the world's energies and cars use like 11%, people think it's cars.
Right.
This is huge. And the beauty is you don't even have to argue about global warming. Everybody wants to use less energy because it's expensive. And then you know what? You just knock down the CO2 by a third anyway. And one doesn't have to argue at all. There's controversy about green, but everybody wants clean. So we're bringing clean and green.
Right. Now, how does it fix the energy problem? How does it make a building more efficient?
When you design it, so think of that jet, for instance. It's designed, it's built, and then it's flown all virtually. That, and they've done that in the 1990s, you know, with commercial jets. Now we're doing the same thing with buildings. You design it, and then you see the ramifications. We put the data into the gaming engine, and you see the ramifications of that data. And then you could come back, you simulate it. Then you come back and refine the design.
So you can say, oh, let's make windows like this because of the reflection of the sun. Like you can make kind of real-time decisions.
Exactly right.
That can make little tweaks that have a big impact.
And do it quite quickly.
There's a wonderful example of Tiger Woods did a golf course in Dubai and built a beautiful golf course center and made glass on all one side of it. Then they found out it was so hot.
Right, that they it's actually like things are catching on fire.
All the staff had to wear Ray-Bans. But then they had to cool the building down, and they ended up by putting so many air conditionings on the roof, the building shook. Now, you can avoid all of that by actually simulating what the sun going to do through the glass in a 3D model.
That's an example of that's how things had been done.
Yeah.
It looked good on paper.
It looked beautiful on
paper.
And
your picture, you're walking around in real life, and it seems to make sense. But when reality, when you put it and build it, and then the sun is actually hitting the glass.
Yeah. So this, but by doing it in 3D and doing it in something like VimTrack, you can basically run these simulation models and you can see where the sun tracks around the building.
Right.
And we can change sun settings in different parts of the same hemisphere in different parts of the day and see where the shadows fall. So you can say that's fantastic, but actually that reception is going to be in darkness for 7 hours of the day.
Right.
Now we've got to put a lot of lights in there. Now our energy cost goes up. So hold on. If we spin the building around now,
right.
Look
so you
where
have
the sun
the same
goes.
Look, just...
Spin
if you
it
tilt
around.
It a little bit.
Yeah, and that you could never really do in a 2D set of plans. It was really complex.
Now, one of the things we're able to do, too, is empower the architects and engineers with Revit families, with smart objects. In other words, virtual chillers, virtual lighting fixtures, virtual drywall. We go to the manufacturers, and we create a BIM object that gets to use. So you have a virtual air handling unit connected to a chiller, connected to a cooling tower. That air conditioning system can be tested out with different manufacturers' products. So in a building information model, that I is important, and I is the information.
Right.
And the information is based upon these virtual boilers, windows, doors, chairs that get created, and then the architect and engineers place those in the buildings, and then you simulate those. And you could try out a train chiller, pull that out, try a carrier chiller. So you're doing all these what-if scenarios, and we even have connected to the system an estimating system where we do what they call a quantity survey. We count everything up, and then we connect it to a business that we have work with called RS Means, which is the leading costing business. So now when the architects and engineers are designing, they're even able to get feedback on their cost ramifications of their decisions. So they could go, what if I try this system? You put it in there, see what it looks like, see how it acts, then put in another system and get the cost feedback as well.
So when you say the cost feedback, you're getting the cost of the actual item, but you can also project what the monthly electric bill would be?
That's an aspect, but in this case, the cost of putting particular equipment in a design on the actual building cost of the building.
Right, but one thing is you have the, like you pick air conditioner A.
Yes.
And then you go, well, air conditioner A costs 10% more than air conditioner B, but by running it, it's a more efficient unit. So over the course of 5 years, you're going to save, you know, X number of thousand. So you can get that kind of.
We have a product called Eco Scorecard and Eco Saver that actually allows you to do just what you're saying. Thank you for that question. So our product Eco Scorecard and Eco Saver does exactly that.
So now are the vendors, they're just trying to get into your system, right? You want to have all the vendors so that you're giving the builders as much choices so they can make informed decisions on every aspect of the building.
Exactly
process.
Right. So we have a large group of building product manufacturers that we represent. And the beauty is when we do a virtual Anderson window or a Conier or a Vista wall, and that goes in, we actually give that to the architects and engineers free. So they like it, so they don't have to sit there, and the manufacturers like it because they want the appropriate simulation being done, right, the appropriate size.
And they have to trust that it's going to give them accurate information.
Yeah. Well, since the manufacturers are, they're the ones who actually pay our company, SmartBIM, to create these smart building information, right, modeling objects. So the manufacturers pay for that, and they want their products to be accurate. And that's what we do. We build it under their specifications. Then the architects use them. That's good for the architects and the engineers because they don't want to be building these things. Right. They just use it.
And they can just drag and drop it to the appropriate
you
place.
You got it exactly right.
And slide it around and move
you
it.
You got it.
And then so now I understand that like the air conditioner and big things like that, but when you were talking about like a medical facility, so they can test like X-ray machines and even just their practical.
We've got BIM objects
for that
made
too?
For the CAT scans, the wow. Stryker beds, the equipment. Yes, we totally fit out the building.
Wow. And that's in every industry or primarily healthcare right
primarily
now?
Primarily medical, schools, and hotels, but we're moving out.
And because theoretically it could be anything.
You're right.
And the other interesting thing is, you know, this concept about the Internet of Everything.
Right.
So the Internet of Everything effectively means that every single object, inanimate object, will have an IP address.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine that if you're wandering around a virtual building, we had an example about a year ago of a gambling hall that wanted to have a virtual environment of its gaming hall. So each individual slot machine has an IP address.
Right.
And I didn't realize, but depending where you put the slot machine depends on how profitable it is. So if you put it nearer to the aisle, it makes more money than you've put it at the back of the hall,
sure,
out of the way,
right,
which is pretty logical. So the idea is that we're now exploring that can we attach an IP address to the BIM object? So at the moment, the IP address is there. So if you click on a chair, it goes to the website of that company and gives you the augmented data. That's
right.
Stunning. But can we make that data live? So you can now, in a virtual environment, click on a gambling machine and it can tell the owners how much it's been taking, how profitable it's been.
Wow.
So now the Internet of Things, basically, we can get residing in a virtual environment. That's when it gets really exciting.
Now, in a medical environment, can you keep track of the objects? Like say they have equipment that they're like a wheelchair or something that they're using, a piece of equipment, they roll into it. And they can kind of lose track of it, right? Does this help them keep track?
Yes, well, that you could, as Nicholas is saying, you could tag it with an RFID.
Right, like
you
roll an X-ray machine somewhere, and
yes,
then you know where it is.
You can do it. So, back to your original question, we showed this, and we won this Technology Association of Georgia Award. So it was pretty cool.
And then, so now what's next for you? I mean, it's just, you got the pedal to the floor. You're just leaning on Wendell to sell some more stuff.
That's right.
I'm not quite sure why he's still here, actually.
So now you're just implementing the technology, but you're still working to enhance it more?
It's live. We have over, you know, many, many dozens of projects we've already done,
right,
where we go ahead and we take the Revit or BIM model, put it in the gaming engine, and now the architects design, as they're doing their design, they can get their feedback. Then those plans go out, but it's not just a 2D set of paper plans or electronic plans. It's now 3D plans. That's what we're doing with Construction Market Data,
right,
or CMD, who is actually a local firm here. It started in 1982 in Atlanta, grew to 1,500 people, and they are a dominant force in market data for construction, and they're based right here in Atlanta.
They're still based here?
They're still based here.
Wow.
And and we're working with them because since they know about all the new projects coming up, we're now offering, we're going to announce at the American Institute of Architects National Convention, which happens to be in Atlanta this year. That's
when
serendipity.
Is that?
Better to be lucky than good, we say. And so... So they're going to announce that. That's at May 16th. And the architects, when they submit their Revit file to us, we'll process it, give it back to them. They could show the owners. And now the trade contractors could have access to 3D plans. Vimtrek and CMD are doing that together.
Wow. That's game-changing.
You're right.
So now... if somebody wanted to learn more, you guys have some information on the web?
Well, of course, yes. If one goes to vimtrek.com, vimtrek.com, and smartbim.com.
And that'll give you an idea of answer any questions, or they can
kind of. You're right. I think a lot of questions get answered.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure.
Yes, sir.
This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.